May the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord be with you. May the Spirit of Christ, the Prince of Peace, be with your heart, and the power of the Holy Ghost strengthen you so you may continue to live for Christ, to live for Christ until he comes. God bless you. And I praise my Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of my soul, the Lord of my being, to be here with you, to share the word of God with you. And I'm pleased to have my wife with me, Rosalia Baldi, and also one of our church members. Can you please stand up so the church may see you? You may be seated. Thank you very much. And I thank also Pastor Daniel for about 5 years. And I met him, and he invites me sometimes to preach, which I honor very much to share God's word with you. And thank you also for the aspect of humility that I can see throughout the congregation, and specifically in you as you speak and as you pray. I can feel the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and also the humility that is in your spirit. May God richly bless you. May he bless your wife and your family, and also the ministry that he has entrusted you. God bless you. Shall we pray? Sure. Father God, we give you thanks again for this great privilege to be in your presence this Sunday, a Sunday that we have never seen before. But you have planned in your own plan, Father God, to have this day, Sunday, to worship you. That Sunday that reminds us of your resurrection. The Sunday that reminds us that you shun darkness. You cast out darkness with your light. And you have made this day a blessing. A day of victory over the devil, over his works. A day that reminds us of the great hope that we have in you. You have promised us, oh Father God, to not to trouble, not to worry about life. In your Father's house, there are many mansions, and you said, if it were not so, you would have told us. You go and prepare a place for us where you are, that way. That is where we are going to be also. We thank you, Father God, for this congregation. You know the need of everyone. You know what they are looking for, and most of all, their hearts that are seeking for your truth, seeking for your consolation, seeking for life that is eternal in you. Bless them, O Father God, as they're going to be leaving this sanctuary, so they may live with your peace, live with your grace, so they may prosper in life as you promise. In Jesus' name, our precious Lord, the lover of our soul, we do pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, thank you for inviting me, and we will not stay too long. I know that we have about 20 minutes, no, 15. Anyway, I will not be too long. If you want to experience peace in your personal life and be effective in Christ's ministry, there's one thing you need to do. Be at the feet of Christ. There is no other means to be effective in Christ's ministry. There is no other means to have peace in your household. No other means to serve the Lord, but only at his feet through prayer and through the reading of the scripture. If you have those two diamonds, even better than diamonds, if you have those two treasures, you will be successful, not only for your life, but also for the ministry of Christ. You know, everywhere that Jesus is, there also is a ministry. He wants to communicate something, not only for this time, but also for the time to come. And when I think about this passage that we just read a little while ago, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 41, Actually, for some versions, we have until 42. I discovered that the Lord himself planned to have that specific scenario, that specific event that took place at Martha's house and Mary's house, just to show us something, to teach us something about ministry. Remember that Jesus was there. He was invited. And once Jesus is there, there is a ministry. And so we see two worlds. One is Martha, characteristic of her being, and the other one is Mary. Two sisters, they were all both Lazarus brothers. I mean, Lazarus sisters, I'm sorry. And Lazarus, remember, in Luke chapter 11, after 4 days, he was in the tomb, and Jesus came and raised Lazarus from the dead. And you can imagine how happy was the family when they saw a great event like that happen. You who are doctors and us, you know that after 4 days, and there was no way a person who died can revive again. But with the Lord's voice, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead with his voice. Now time comes for Martha and Mary to receive Jesus at their house. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, as we just read, that Martha was busy cooking. It was customary at that time for a guest, when the guests come, a host comes in to serve that host and feed and wash feet and so on and so forth. It wasn't something wrong that Martha was doing by cooking food, although we need some Marthas in the church who can cook and serve people. And there was joy when we are together to eat together and drink together and laugh together. You build, in that sense, relationship. You build, in that sense, what we call communion and discipleship together when we sit down and eat together and get to know each other. I believe that the Lord's presence honors that when we are together in that sense. There was nothing wrong, really, in cooking. However, what was wrong with Martha was she goes to the extreme. Because she was angry, and you can imagine what was going on in Martha's heart at that time when she saw her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, not knowing exactly what Mary was doing there. But the Bible says clearly that Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus' words. Is that wonderful? And unfortunately, nowadays, we have some ministers, some pastors, and to tell you, some Bible teachers who want to do ministry without prayer, who just go to ministry without knowing God's word. There is a big danger, and I think it's a judgment. Even a judgment can even draw to a person who does not care about reading God's word, understanding God's word, and praying in that sense. And so Martha, actually, as I mentioned, was not wrong when she cooked the food. But it was there was a problem with Martha that we don't find in Mary. The Bible says that Mary was sitting there and listened to God's word. You know, some people think that prayer comes first. To tell you the truth, that wasn't the way it was, and it can never be. Prayer is first. It's not prayer first, it's reading the Bible, knowing God's word first. And that's the way the primitive church did. When you look at the book of Acts, take a look at that with me for a moment. I don't want to teach something that really not back up with the scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, for example, we see after Peter preached the word of God and about 3,000 souls were saved, And the Bible says in verse 42, they devoted themselves, those who were saved, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Number one is the teaching of God's word. If you don't know how, if you don't really study God's word, you never show up in Bible study. When we have Bible study in our church, so how can you pray? Because the only way to really pray is to know who God is. And God reveals himself in many ways as omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So those three attributes belong to God, and you need to know. Omniscience, in other words, meaning that God knows everything. And omnipotent means that he is all-powerful. And omnipresent means that he is everywhere at once. The devil is not everywhere at once. He goes to and fro, but he is not everywhere at once. But Jesus is everywhere at once because he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Jesus says that. And at home, when you call upon his name, he's there. God forbid they would kidnap you and put you in the back of a trunk of a car. You pray right away. God listens to your voice and will be delivered. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. So now, when we know about the sovereignty of God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three men, remember when they had a challenge in front of them, when Nebuchadnezzar had the big, tall, golden statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said something very, very powerful. They said, King, let me tell you, we will not worship your golden statue. Because why? Why do they say that? Because they knew who God is. And God told them not to. And he said, well, but let me tell you something. Our God we serve will deliver us if you throw us in the fire, in the furnace. If it's not God's desire to save us, but we let you know beforehand, we will not bow down before your golden statue. We will not. So the reason they said, because they had the conviction in their faith, and they knew exactly who God is. They know God is God and is able to save us in whatever situation you may be. That's God. But if he did know that, of course, if they did know that, what would happen? They would weaken their faith. They would weaken their faith. But what happened is that they had a conviction because they had a knowledge about who God is. We can't really pray effectively if we don't learn the scripture to know about the sovereignty of God. I may pray for my child, for my son, for my daughter to be healed. But at the same time, I have to remember that God is sovereign over our lives. I may pray day and night to ask God to save my son or to save my daughter. I can pray all day, all night to save my wife. But let me tell you something. Remember, God is sovereign. He listens to all prayers, but at the same time, he is sovereign. But how do we know that if we don't know the scripture? It is always good for Christians, brothers and sisters, to attend Bible studies. It happens sometimes because of your work. It may happen sometimes because of your, if you are sick. But it is always good to attend Bible studies. It is always good to learn how God operates in people's life. Sometimes we shake because we don't know. But when we know who God really is, we have a relationship with him. Things become easier in our lives. Martha missed that. She could not understand that being at the feet of Christ, Mary learns to be at peace. Mary learns what we call shalom. She learns what patience is, joy, because she is receiving something that she can't get anywhere else. Mary was at the feet of Christ to learn about life and to learn about God's kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? And some people, they just go and work, because if you rely on your own understanding, because you have a doctorate degree or a master's degree or bachelor's degree, and you think you know enough to just go and teach people the Bible, believe me, you will be upset. There are things you will see. Some children, they may not behave well and stuff like that. But when you have the love of Christ and you know who Christ really is, you have patience, which is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. You have joy by working in the ministry of Christ and to impact those children or impact those young people. Because you pray, because you read the scripture. So Bible study and prayer are two keys that will make you effective in your household and in your ministry. Is that wonderful? That's the lesson that Jesus Christ wants to communicate to all of us today. We have to set a time to pray. We have to set a time to study God's word. Yes, it may be very difficult to attend Bible studies, but you have to have time home, 2-3 hours, sit down and meditate on God's word. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this passage of the scripture, and so on and so forth. And the reason why most pastors and Bible teachers give up, resign, is because of lack of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a poor, unhealthy relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have any deficit. You can't be a loser when you are at the feet of Christ. Absolutely impossible. Even things that may seem to be a failure, God may use that for something greater. Being at the feet of Christ is the number one thing, of life. And I have read so far through the statistics of Barnard, Fuller Institute, and George Barnard, about people who fail in ministry. 95% pastors don't pray with their wives together. Again, that is a failure, because you have to take time, if you marry, to take time and pray. Pray with your wife, pray together, and pray for the church. Pray for the pastor. Pray for Sunday school teachers. You pray for them. Pray for those God put on your trust to share God's word with them. You pray for each one of them. Sometimes Sunday school, to tell you the truth, which we call today Christian education, you may not come on Sunday morning to teach the Bible. But there is a time that we can sit down and ask everyone, how do you feel today? How was your week? You would be amazed to see when they get used to that class, get used to that fellowship. They will tell you things that we never believe. Then you will teach them what? You will teach them to pray. Let us pray together, you know, regarding this case or that case. Then the students learn how to respond when crisis comes, when a problem erects right in front as a thick wall. You know exactly what to do. Let us pray for that young girl. Let us pray for that young woman. She's going through a crisis, as she just mentioned. We pray together. Then they learn. Students learn from that. When somebody comes to you and share his or her problem, wow, then you pray. Then they learn how to respond when problems come. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is the lesson we have this morning. Statistics shows that many pastors who fail in ministry, they fail because of lack of prayer. They rely on the doctorate degree, which is good when you have a PhD or master's degree. It's good to have that. Yes, we went to seminaries, or we learned, we get that master's degree from there and doctorate degree from there. But believe me, it is good to have that because God is the one who gave us education. But most of all, above all, we need Christ's presence. We need to study and we need Christ's presence in our lives. For everyone. Bible teaching, study God's word is important. Then you know how to respond to prayer. Lord, what does that passage have to do with me? Because you need to be fed first before you feed others. I'm not going to feed people while I'm starving myself. That is artificial. Is not what? Correct. But I have to be fed. I'm healthy then in order to help somebody else. I'm talking about to be egocentric, to have an egocentric attitude when I'm talking about that. But I mean that we need to learn God's word first, then after that, you send it to someone else. Some pastor's wife also resign in ministry. You know why? Because they feel that they are not appreciated by church members. No matter what they do, some people do not understand. But it happens to Jesus. Don't you know? Jesus did a lot of great miracles. He healed lepers and people who demon possessed and multiplied bread and fish. All those miracles that he did. Don't you know that some people did not appreciate anything? So do not expect, as you serve God's people, that everyone will agree with you. Do not expect because you serve them, because they are all Christians, believe me, you will receive some blames. People may not understand you. Not all of them. You will find some who appreciate you very much, very, very much, but some will not. They will find ways and means to criticize, but remember that you bear the mark of Christ. You bear the mark of Christ. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to bear your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? You will find persecutions, people who despise your ministry. You sit down, you wait for them. Some of them do not show up. Sometimes nobody. And you sit down and pray. But we will not do as Martha, to be upset. Lord, don't you care? Because Mary does not come to help me. Tell her to come and help me. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. You know, when Jesus mentions somebody's name twice, there was a warning. There was a warning. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long have I been patient with you? There was a warning. Peter, Peter, Satan is trying to crush you, but I pray for you. Listen, there was a warning. Martha, Martha. In other words, you who are working in God's ministry, remember that you are not working for pastors. You are working in Christ's ministry. You may find people, as I mentioned, to make you sad and go home and cry, but come back. Because your call is not from men. Your call is from God. Is that wonderful? When you learn from Jesus Christ, as Jesus mentions in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. This is a great passage that I want to mention. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 40. You learn to be like Christ because you will find some problem. He said, Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Not only in knowledge, but also in character. Is that wonderful? Let me repeat again. A student is not above his teacher. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Is that wonderful? You know the word of God. You know what God wants from your life. And storms, the storms of life and waves of agitation will not shake your heart. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Not the peace that the world is given, but I'm giving you my peace. He is the Shah Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. No matter what people do to you to discourage you in ministry, listen, have strength within your heart, because God is the one who calls you, nobody else. People, they resign in ministry for many reasons. Sometimes they, because people do not respond well to their vision. It does happen, and sometimes they go and come back. They realize that you are the best teacher, or the best pastor, among others. But let me tell you, if you are called to ministry, your call is sacred. You will cry, but will not give up. So what we learn from this passage of the scripture is, number one, don't blame others. Don't blame others. When things happen in your ministry, nobody helps. Don't blame others, but see what we can do. Don't blame the Lord. Say, Lord, you called me, I don't understand what's going on, and so and so. Come to him, because he knows how to direct your path. He knows how to fill you. He knows how to do, not you, not me. When you humble ourselves, we humble ourselves and stay at the feet of Christ, we learn. Say, Lord, help me to understand that teaching. Some people don't want to forgive. At the same time, they teach forgiveness. They teach forgiveness, but at the same time, they are angry with their mom and dad or husband or wife or sister. They don't teach and not have. That is, how can we make an impact in someone's life when we ourselves need Jesus to impact our lives? Teach forgiveness? That's a hard thing. To forgive somebody who really hurts you, you need the Spirit of Christ. On the cross, he was suffering, and in the midst of his suffering, wow, in the midst of his suffering, he says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. That's the type of attitude we are when we are fully trained. Among our suffering, while we shed our tears. Somebody hurts us so bad. Man, you say, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they do. And you forgive them. How can I put my feet on a blind man and not the blind man put his feet on me? Then my eyes are open. Then what I do? Will I step on him? No, because he's blind. That's why he hurts me. Maybe he needs a little more light. We don't blame others in ministry. And we forgive. And later on, those who hurt you will have a testimony. Let's say, this man or this woman was patient with me. He is a man of God. He is a woman of God. Am I right? So because, why? Because we are trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. To finish today the message, so we tell you, first of all, don't blame others. Blame yourself. Don't even blame yourself, because if you do, you will have a problem. Then you will feel guilty. Some people still feel guilty 4 or 5 years after they have committed a sin. That is a problem. They become worried about their lives, about peace. You can't be at the feet of Christ and be a loser. If God says he forgives you, believe that and go on with your life. Go on and worship him, because he says he forgives you. How you still have that guilt eroding your life, and until you can even get sick. That's what it is when we become upset and we worries. It affects our physical lives. Some people have high blood pressure and sugar, whatever. And the reason is because the lack of inner peace. But when you have peace, even when you are sick, you have high blood pressure or tension or whatever, but the inner peace gives you hope because the Lord is the Lord of hope. We Christians, redeemed people, we have hope through trials and tribulations and sickness, whatever sickness it may be. We have hope of eternal life. We will see our God face to face. Remember who had that hope? We have so many examples in the Bible. Job. He had hope. He says, even when my skin goes all the way deep to my bones, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will live, and I will see him with my own eyes. Not someone else. My own eyes, I will see God. Is that wonderful? Sickness. Who can separate us from the love of God? Death, sickness, nothing. Because God loves you. And you need to have that confidence every day. And you need to implement that love also in your congregation, in your class, with your mates. Implement that love so you can have a faithful and effective ministry for Christ. And we have a testimony there themselves. We have a testimony about you, and they will learn from you. Being at the feet of Christ, is that what you need? One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen better. So, we don't know exactly what you are going through. And let me give you one passage. And that's it, I'm done. Right? Proverbs chapter 21. Remember that. Proverbs chapter 21. The reason I give that, I don't know why, but it came to my mind to give you that passage. Proverbs chapter 21. Just two verses I'm going to read. So just to understand that everything is God's hand, you need to have that peace. Everything is in God's hand. Is that wonderful when you know that? You're not scared anymore. Proverbs chapter 21, it says, Proverbs chapter 21. So then, you know, people who do not know that passage of the scripture, what happens? They agitate. They shake because they don't know. But once the world may agitate, they may be worried, but not you, not me. Am I right? Proverbs chapter 21, let me see how far can I go, but not too much, one or two. The king's heart, or the president, right? Huh? The one who's in charge. The king's heart is in the head of the Lord. So the Lord is our Lord. He is our master. We come to him for every problem that we have. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Wow. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs the king's heart like a water course wherever he pleases. I may have a TPS. I may not have anything. But if I pray, God will visit the immigration. If I pray for a job, I will get it. I may not get that job, but I will get another one. But I will get it because, God is the one leading people's heart. Did you know that? Don't worry. Don't worry. Worry is not for you and me. God wants us to be different from the world. Our attitude to respond must be different from the way the world responds to crises and agitations and worries. We are Christ's children. And Jesus is the one who dominates over all kingdoms, visible and invisible. If we stand at his feet, definitely 100%, we'll have inner peace and we'll have testimony to give how the Lord Jesus Christ has been good to you, has been good to us. God bless you. May he keep you. May he inculcate peace within your heart, knowing that he's in charge, not you. The ministry, Jesus is in charge. For whatever ministry you may have, Jesus is in charge. Wherever you are, whatever threat you may be facing, Christ is in charge. He is the hero of our lives, and he's the one taking care of you. May peace that Jesus is giving, be into your heart, to your children, to your husband, and to your wife until he comes. Is that wonderful to know God in that way? To be at his feet as Mary was? You will not know all these worries, all this upset. Sometimes even when you lose your job and you get angry, that is not for us. We have peace, inner peace. And Jesus is the one that gives that peace. Martha could not understand. Though her food was very good, but she missed something. She misunderstand that being at God's feast, being at God's feet is the best place to choose. To have peace for you and to share that peace with others. God bless you.